From the simple heart, this changes everything. Something happened in the last 24 hours that should give every animal trapped in a cage hope for the future. I don't mean the breaking news that came out yesterday, though it brought tears to my eyes. I'll have more to say about that in the weeks to come. I don't mean the beginning of my trial for the rescue of dogs from Ridgeland, though that could establish a groundbreaking precedent. Vox's journalist Marina Bolotnikova put it best when she described recent events as a bold and bruising experiment in broadening the movement's tent beyond the already converted, and carrying animal rights forward into the realm of mass politics. What are the signs that this bold and bruising experiment is working? We're holding a Zoom meeting tonight to discuss the events of the last 24 hours, and our plans to seize this movement to end all experiments on dogs. RSVP here. What I mean is that a true grassroots political movement is bursting to life. The renowned social movement scholar Charles Tilly coined the acronym WONK to describe the characteristics of social movements that are able to create change. Worthy, unified, numerous, committed, and what we have seen in the last 24 hours is a movement that is showing that it is WONK. In the face of shocking police violence, we have maintained a moral high ground. At my hearing yesterday, Karen, a senior citizen who uses a walker, described her pride at participating nonviolently in the April 18 action. "We're here for the dogs," she told me. Karen, with the quiet dignity of an elder in our community, showed that we are worthy. Even as the industry tries to divide us, supported by unfortunate factions within the animal movement itself, the Ridgeland response has been a powerful coalition effort. Animal advocates from across the nation, from radical organizations like PETA to relatively conservative groups like Big Dog Ranch Rescue to Wonkish effective altruists at Coefficient Giving, came together to support saving the dogs. I've never seen unity like this in the movement. And then there were the numbers. At a typical protest, grassroots organizers struggled to get 10 people to attend. The Ridgeland campaign recruited over 1,000. Numbers like this give us real power. Finally, there's what happened in court today. But I don't mean with the lawyers and the judge, but with the people who showed up to support. The overflowing courtroom was filled with supporters. Most of them joined the defense of the pups on April 18. The government accused us of violence. It attempted to scare us with tear gas and rubber bullets. But not only did everyone still show up in court, they wanted to do it all again. "I'll be there next time," Karen, the elderly woman with the walker, told me outside of court. "We will do it all again. Commitment like this is how the world changes." Over the last few months, I have been traveling around the world revisiting a thesis I first offered to the movement 10 years ago. Animal liberation, the end to all commercial exploitation of non-human beings, will happen in one generation, I argued back in 2016. The last few days have strengthened that argument. We are worthy. We are unified. We are numerous. And above all, we are committed. As my friend and fellow organizer Aiden Kenkyoku put it, we got our asses kicked. And it worked. This changes everything. A movement with this scale and commitment cannot be stopped. And even as our battles continue in court and in the next open rescue, we should have not just hope but confidence. Soon every animal will be free. The Dane County Court found probable cause in my preliminary hearing yesterday, but removed the court order banning me from Dane County. The hearing had far more fireworks and objections than a typical hearing of this sort. Prosecutor Matthew Moser aggressively objected to every question about animal cruelty. The court commissioner sustained the objections. Unluckily, we drew the same court commissioner in this hearing, Brian S. Muse, as we saw at the bail hearing. He was no more sympathetic this time, though my attorneys Chris Caraway and Kristen Schrank made a strong case for the defense. Ultimately, while the court found probable cause for a felony and refused to lift my no-contact order, it did lift my ban on being present in Dane County. This was the most constitutionally indefensible portion of the prior order, but we will continue the fight against the other restrictions in the weeks to come. We're publishing a report on the lessons from April 18. This past Sunday, we had a long debrief session with all rescuers who participated on March 15 or April 18. We are now releasing a report based on an analysis of that feedback. Check it out here and leave a comment. Some tremendous things have been written about the Ridgeland campaign. Marina Bolotnikova wrote the most vivid description of the events on April 18 as a personal witness to the police brutality. Aiden Kenkyoku has written what I hope will be the first of many blogs analyzing the impact of the campaign. There's so much more to do, so I hope you'll join us tonight. Even as the fight against Ridgeland may be nearing its end, the fight for dogs and other animals facing torture in labs is moving on to the next step. We'll be discussing the last day's news and how we can sustain and grow this momentum at the call tonight. RSVP here to get the Zoom link.